Now, this is Valentine's Day, as we have said, and indeed we've been touching on a number of issues relating to love and all the things that go with it. Let me speak to Tracy Harkin, who would know a thing or two about cost. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Frank.
Tracy, you're with the Iona Institute. Just give us a little bit of background on the Iona Institute. What exactly is it?
Well, basically, we're a Christian research and advocacy group, and as you say, we're a sister organisation of the Iona Institute in the South. So we started up here almost a year ago now, and so we sort of look at the major issues of the day, and suppose what we wanted to do with this particular report is Valentine's Day. We know that, as you said, love's in the air, and so what we were very aware of as an organisation is the big decline in marriage, and marriage in Northern Ireland, as elsewhere, has been declining significantly. For example, 40 years ago, there was 12,000 marriages annually here, and despite, you know, an increase in population, there's now only over about 8,000 per year. So we commissioned this report to sort of to look at marriage and sort of say, well, what's happening here? But we wanted to look specifically at what we found to be a huge and disturbing marriage gap between the social classes. And, I mean, it's a bigger one than the gender gap, and it's just not been talked about among our churches, among policymakers. So basically what it shows is that the most socially disadvantaged in our communities have only half the chance of getting married as the most well-off. And so middle-class people are getting have double the chance of getting married. So we thought today was a very fitting day to launch the report, because second to Christmas, Valentine's Day is the next most popular time for couples to get down on one knee and ask the big question.
Yeah, are you driven by the hope that those who are in love will actually marry, as opposed to spending the rest of their lives together without being married, or are you simply looking at it from a cost perspective?
Well, what the report showed was that, you know, if twice as many people are getting married from middle-class, better-off backgrounds, then there's something going on there. There's an inequality there. And indeed, you know, coming up to this report, when you speak to people on the ground, I spoke to two taxi drivers this morning, actually, and they were saying the same thing. They said that, you know, there's huge social impediments for people from, you know, more working-class backgrounds to get married. And so I think the reasons for that need to be looked at. Certainly what people are saying is there's penalties actually built into the social welfare system. And there's also tax penalties built into, you know, families that declare themselves to be together, but there's only one earner. So I think those things are what people are saying. There's also the cost of weddings themselves, which have got astronomical. But it is a significant gap. And because we looked at the age group 18 to 49 because that's the time when people are having their kids mostly. And, because children from disadvantaged backgrounds are far less likely to live in households headed between married parents than children from better-off backgrounds. So it's a vicious circle, Frank, you know. Say, like for an upper-income groups, for example, only 14% of parents are unmarried, but 36% are unskilled. And even if people are unemployed further down the social scale, the way NISRA record these things, almost half, 48% of unemployed parents are unmarried. So that's a huge inequality for children. And the chances of them getting up the social ladder are significantly impaired. So it's about marriage equality. It's about looking at marriage opportunity for between the social classes, because that dimension hasn't really been looked at. We think it does need to be looked at. We need to look at the social security system to see why there are not more encouragements for young couples in particular that are struggling, maybe on a low income, or somebody's maybe still claiming benefits, to actually get married. And because that's going to be better overall for stability and for their children. That's what people are saying. Like, we want to get married, we'll have kids, but we can't because we're going to be worse off.
But is the Iona Institute coming from a perspective of believing more in traditional marriage and more importantly, the traditional family?
Well, what we look at, Frank, is sort of evidence-based research and what we looked at in this was, so first of all, there's the big gap, there's the impact. Anything that's going to help child poverty, anything that's going to help people from disadvantaged backgrounds, especially children, get up the social ladder. And it's interesting because in other studies, for example, in the US, they've shown that if Americans, for example, married the same rate as they did 30, 40 years ago, that would be one of the greatest anti-poverty measures in history. So it's about poverty, it's about social disadvantage, and looking at the role that marriage plays in that, and looking at this huge gap. Like, why on earth in 2018 should there be, you know, twice as many people from middle-class backgrounds be able to get married, and those from working class, when there's so many benefits to marriage, for kids in particular?
So you see considerable disadvantage for children who are growing up with a couple who aren't married or who are growing up in a single parent environment? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what the research show is telling us. As I say, if only, for example, if 14% of people that would are in middle class incomes are unmarried, but say for the unemployed that's around half, then obviously there's going to be social disadvantage there, and that's something, and marriage can help to bridge that gap. And I think part of it too is, I mean, there's lots of reasons for this, but the big reason that people were saying is, like, there's financial impediments to us getting married if we're from lower income backgrounds. And that's really what people have been saying. And I think universities need to look at that, and they need to look at it in terms of just bridging that gap between the rich and poor, being able to, who want to get married. People will make all sorts of lifestyle choices, but we need to help people that actually do want to get married, and there's impediments to them marrying.
But is part of the motivation, the element within the Christian church of the male and the female marrying and being together and bringing up their children, is that what's driving the Iona Institute and their beliefs in marriage?
Well, I think that it's well established now, Frank, in social research, and we are a research group, the many benefits to marriage for couples themselves, but also for children. For example, it increases the chances of the father being around. Couples that live together are actually more likely to break up. There was a very striking study that actually quite shocked me, that was carried out in Bristol, which found that 27% of cohabiting couples split up by the time their child is 5 years of age, compared with just 9% for married couples. So that's a difference from 3-1. And I think we don't talk about the benefits of marriage. It's sort of presented as just one other lifestyle choice. So I think what we're trying to do is look at this huge gap between the social classes. And also, I suppose, as part of that, is to draw attention to just what the questions you're asking me, Frank, about, is there benefits to marriage? And what do we say? Yes, there definitely is, in terms of helping those more socially disadvantaged get up the ladder. That's what the research has told us. It's not about an opinion. It's about sort of looking at what's out there in social research over the last few decades.
And does it matter to you whether it's a church marriage or a civil marriage?
Do you know what? I think that it's funny, because a lot of people, I mean, I got married in a church, and there's only 1 in 4 people actually that don't get married in a church. So I think it's a good thing if people want to do it. I think that in terms of benefits for children, it doesn't make any difference, in terms of from a social research point of view. The important thing is that you've made that, making that public commitment and getting in front of your family and friends. I mean, everybody dreams, I suppose, of their wedding day. And I think that, I mean, when you talk to young people and you ask them, what are your hopes and dreams for the future? Marriage and finding a partner for life ranks really, really high on their list, which is quite interesting. So I think it's important to us, it's important to society, and I think we just need to give people every opportunity that want to do so to actually, be able to have that wedding day.
And where does the Iona Institute stand in relation to same-sex couples getting married?
Well, the Iona Institute, I mean, I've talked a good bit about this actually over the last few months on Media Frank, and it's a very interesting discussion. And in terms of the same-sex marriage thing, we'd be sort of saying, look, everybody can live the way they want. Absolutely, it's a pluralist democratic society, but there's a purpose and a role around the institution of marriage that is actually impacts on children, because as I say, every child is a mummy and a daddy. So it's within society's interests that as much as possible, as long as circumstances allow, that mummy and daddy of that child actually look after that child and rear that child. And we all know plenty of circumstances where that can't happen, but what we would say, well, look, where it could, and I think most reasonably people would say, well, look, where that could happen, where it can happen, we should encourage that for the welfare of the child. And I think that's a reasonable point of view that any sort of groups would have. And I suppose in terms of the changing the law, redefining marriage, I think we sort of lose that unique status of marriage. And I think part of that is because we haven't really understood the benefits of marriage, what marriage is, because as I say, it's presented as just one other lifestyle choice, and it is, and everybody should always have the choice to live what way they are, but there's a special role and a function of marriage in society. And so we're just hoping to get some discussion about this in relation to the inequality between the social classes, and we're hoping to do that through this report, Frank.
In relation to the point you make about ideally every child would have a mommy and a daddy, and you have accepted there that that isn't always the way it works out. Many time the child is brought up by mum or by dad or by indeed by the grandparents or aunties or whatever. Yeah. There are many different ways that, that children are brought up. But what you're saying there is that a gay man or a gay woman will never, if they follow through on what your organisation believe, they'll never have the opportunity to be loving parents.
Well, not at all. I mean, gay people have kids and they love them, the same as any straight person does. But the, I suppose this report isn't specifically about that particular issue, Frank. But if you want me to talk about that, I will. And the thing,
it's very relevant today because we had young people on earlier who are lobbying politicians, young gay people who want marriage equality. And you're exceptionally eloquent, Tracy, and your answer is incredibly diplomatic when I ask you about equal marriage. But the nuts and bolts of this is the Iona Institute does not believe in marriage equality. And they're one of the main arguments against marriage equality.
Well, I think, Frank, that there's a lot of countries in the world and that actually see a huge problem with changing the law on marriage because if you cheat, because every child, you said there, every single child ever conceived has a mommy and a daddy. And the whole role of marriage throughout history, if you look at the early, from before church and state was ever created, there was a specific role and a purpose for marriage. Marriage didn't. Marriage, well, look, why on earth does the state interfere in marriage? Why do they interfere in that? And it was because of children. So there was always a link there with children that society understood. And we just think that that's a good link to keep. There's civil partnerships. Everybody should be able to live their life the way they want. And I think it's a very unhelpful. I think the marriage equality term is extremely unhelpful because it doesn't reflect the true nature of what needs to be discussed. Because
but
what
you're
needs
also,
to be discussed is what is marriage.
Yeah, but you're what also saying that people get married to have children.
No, that's not true, Frank. But at least, but the reason why governments down through the years have, the reason why it's a social institution and receives certain rights and benefits is because of children. Because why on earth would the government care if two sisters live together or two friends live together? And once you change the law, it has huge consequences. Like in the Republic just a month ago, two straight men got married to avoid inheritance tax. In across the water, children that are conceived through sperm donation or IVF to gay couples, you know, they will never know who their biological parent is. And there's a huge problem in that for the basic right of the child. So what we're saying is let's all live together. Let's all love who we want. But for goodness sake, look at the institution of marriage, the huge benefits that it brings to kids, and don't lose that. And let's look at civil partnerships and let's see what is missing in that for gay people. I'd like to hear that discussion. But as I say, today is really about this Mind the Gap report. And I would just, and I think, and I'm just encouraging people, that, you know, policymakers, politicians to look seriously at couples that really want to get married from the lower income classes and that can't because of financial difficulties or because of tax penalties, because there's huge benefits to marriage for society as general, but especially for children, Frank.
And you don't feel that the way you speak discriminates against gay people?
Frank, gay people are part of my community. They're part of my life like they are other people's. And
So I why shouldn't they have what you have and what I have?
Because what? Let's celebrate difference. Let's celebrate.
So they're different. They're not the same.
And it's not beautiful. Isn't it beautiful?
But why are they different?
We're talking about a law change, Frank. If we're talking about an actual law. We're talking about once you find marriage, why not then? This is what's happening in other countries where three people are getting married. There's polygamy. The law just gets ridiculous and you lose the whole purpose. I mean, why on earth do governments care about human relationships other than because a man and a woman bring a child into the world? They have that conjugal union is what marriage has always has been. And what we're saying is nobody's any less than. People can live whatever way they like. They can parent children whatever way they like. But let's surely keep that social institution and let's strengthen it and encourage that for the good of children, because it's always good where possible for the children know their mommy and their daddy. I mean, that's just basic. And I think, you know, I think with these sort of slogans, some of the basic benefits for kids are sort of being left. I just think children are being lost in this whole debate. It's all about adults, what suits us. And let's look at civil partnerships. Let's really look at that and say, well, what's missing in that? You know, what's missing in that? And it's, you know, two gay people, two straight people, their relationship is different than a straight couple. But what's wrong with that? And what's wrong with having an institution for straight couple? Because they're the ones that are going to be bringing children into the world biologically, and that's why states have always interfered in it. And let's have something else for gay and lesbian couples. And I think that's not just Northern Ireland. There is most countries in the world haven't legalized gay marriage because of these issues, not because they don't like gay people or because they're homophobic. I think that's very, I mean, I feel as if that actual sort of has shut down debate. People are afraid to speak on this because they don't want to offend. And I think we have to sort of mature and reflect on what is marriage, what function does it have in society, and is there benefits to keeping it? And I think that there is. Well, given every equality to other minority groups like the LGBT community.
Well, Tracy, you're certainly not afraid to offend. I'm sure you've offended loads of people who are
listening. I've offended loads of people. I mean, I just feel as if that anybody that knows that knows me, that knows the organisation, that knows, I mean, this is a position that most of the Christian churches have, that many governments, I mean, is Angela Merkel a homophobic? Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is ridiculous to say that this is offensive.
Well, I didn't say you were homophobic. I said you've offended people. I've said you've offended people.
My intention
and
is certainly...
Let me tell you, Tracy, the churches have also offended people. That's the only point that I'm making. But I'm glad you're on, because you balance what was spoken about earlier when we had the young gay people on as well. I'm out of time on it, but I'd love to do a whole programme with you. But Tracy, thank you for speaking to us on Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Tracy Harkin, who is indeed from the Iona Institute. It's a Christian-based institute. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning. Your opinions, of course, are always very welcome here on the programme, whether you're in favour of marriage equality or traditional marriage. The number remains the same. Michael's got a point. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Frank. How are you keeping?
Very well, Michael.
Listen, Frank, I just want to tell you a story about an experience. A friend of mine had a wonderful experience. We're both in AA, and he was telling me of something that happened to him. He says he was actually sitting in the house one night, and his young daughter came into him and said, "Daddy, I don't know what way to say this. I'm a wee bit panicky about telling you this." And right off, I think the father, being the father, thought the wee girl was pregnant. And he says, "Look, listen, you can say anything to me." And he says, "Well, I've got a new partner." And he said to her, "Listen, why don't you bring him around? We'll have a yarn, just to have a talk." And apparently he says, "Daddy, it's not a boy, it's a girl." And I thought it was incredible the way he accepted it. You know, I know this guy, and I know, he's a beautiful guy, but see the way he accepted the fact that the child had the choice to pick her own partner was incredible.
Yeah, because it's about love, isn't it? It's about loving your child.
Yeah.
And some people have a real difficulty with it, and they dress it up. They dress it up with what is best for the world, and they always say, "Oh, there's their community and the other community and the gay community, and you know they have to be understood and they have to be adhered to." And but then they'll steer it back to what is perfect in their head, and what is perfect in inverted commas their head isn't necessarily what is right for some other individual. So you look and you see what you want, you look and you see what you believe, but you can't foist it upon someone else. You know, people are entitled to be as they are, and they're entitled to equality.
Frank, I don't think they're forces on anyone. I think they're only asking people to give them a chance. That's all they're asking in life, you know, and I think that's all everybody asks, just to give people a chance in life.
Yes, but people who have a difficulty with someone being gay in their family, those people do voice. The people who have the difficulty sometimes voice their opinion upon others and make it difficult for the young gay person. And that's why some young gay people can't come out to their family. Coming out to the family is sometimes a much more difficult step than coming out to your mates at school or coming out to the lads at work. It's the family that can sometimes be the most difficult, and that's why your mate seems like an ideal father.
Frank, listen, he's a member of AA, and at one time in his life he was never the ideal. He was never there for the people that he really loved. The fact is that he thought the daughter meant that much to him, that she would come to him and say that. To me it's like a fairy tale story. It's fantastic the way that, and the daddy loves it. I never met a prouder guy in my life. The fact that his daughter has a partner of the same sex is incredible.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he be happy? The daughter's happy, why wouldn't he be happy? But this is Northern Ireland, it's not always as easy as that, because you have people who are constantly reminding you that it isn't the traditional way. We've had, you know, the most eloquent of speakers on there just a moment ago reminding us of how it isn't the traditional way. And saying things like, you know, a child needs a mommy and a daddy. Yeah, in the ideal world, a mommy and a daddy is fantastic. If a child has a mommy and a daddy, that's fantastic. There's no problem with that. That's brilliant. But there's so many families who don't have a mommy and a daddy. And, you know, the reality is not what some people see as the ideal. And you can't have, everyone can't have what is the ideal in their heads. They've got to look and see what's ideal for you. That's what you want. That's what you should have. Right, coming up on 25 to 11. Good morning. 90-333-105. Nice story, Michael. Thank you very much indeed. Happiness in a family is probably the most important thing of all.